another day, another dollar makes you wonder where your money went. You can scream.
And you Hi, this is Jack Spirko with another edition of the Survival Podcast. As always, one man's view of the changing world and changing economic times and the things that we can do to live a better life if times get tough or even if they don't. Once again, folks, you got me on a morning commute. I haven't done an afternoon show in a long time. Usually pretty beat by the end of the day. Maybe I'll actually do one on the ride home today, though, so I'll put out two today. Today we're going to talk about this, a little bit more on this economic problem that we're dealing with, this $700 billion bailout of the entire financial sector and supposedly the homeowners of the United States as well. And we're going to talk about that for a variety of reasons. One, we're going to talk about it because it's the biggest thing going on today. It's I know that sometimes you guys like to hear, like I, you know, I've said before, you like to hear the shows on how to store your pinto beans, and that's a metaphor for all these different preps that we make. But we're actually going to talk about that stuff, though, quite a bit today as we go through this. Because the reason I'm doing this is I'm not going to do the type of analysis that I've done in some of these other things, at least not today on this issue. I'm not going to sit here to you and deeply explain to you where the money's going, because we don't know right now. Because this bill right now is being held up in Congress, and I'm actually seeing the Democrats do something that I'm kind of proud of. I'm trying to see them do something right. They're opposing this bill without putting some type of limits on how much money these CEOs of these failed companies can take out with them in the form of bonuses and salaries, etc. Now, here's where I have conflict with my free market laissez-faire capitalism. And my patriotic duty as an American. On one hand, I feel that if you run a company, you should be able to make as much money as you want. You really should. But the problem here is that public money is being used to bail these companies out, not even investor money. I mean, it's one thing if you screw your investors over. I mean, then you have to deal with your investors in the law. But in this case, what we're doing is we're taking taxpayer money that the taxpayers don't even have. It's being printed, and it's being used to bail these companies out. And part of what these guys want to do is take a big bonus on their way out. Now, I'm sorry. If you're a CEO or an executive-level officer of any type, if you're senior management, if you're anyone that has direct control over the operations of a company, and it goes into the toilet so badly that the American people have to come to your rescue with billions of dollars, you don't deserve a freaking bonus. You don't have a bonus coming. You're not entitled to a bonus. So the Democrats are holding this bill up, and then now Bush is starting his rhetoric. Bush is now not calling it a bailout or a stimulus or an economic plan. He's now calling it a rescue plan to give the indication that things could go right over the edge, all right, and down the tubes if we don't do something right away. And there's some truth to that. I'll explain that as we go on. But, you know, I just want you to get a grasp of reality here, okay? We're not on the Titanic. At least I don't think we're on the Titanic. We're on a boat that might sink, but it's going to sink really slow, and there's plenty of lifeboats, and there's plenty of things to make stuff out of, and the water that we're in is not below zero. It's rather temperate, and there's plenty of places to row your lifeboat to safety, okay? That's where I see us right now. This boat is going down. But it's going down in a manageable way, and it's being, you know, never lose sight of the fact that on some levels it's probably supposed to go down. That a lot of what we've been through in the past, you know, 10 years has been a lot of BS. We've had these people in these financial institutions writing these bad loans. They knew they were writing their bad loans, and they knew that this would have to be the result. Okay, but the real reason I'm talking about this today is I'm getting emails from people. I'm getting private messages on the new forum. I'm getting feedback through the blog that basically says, hey, Jack, I'm starting to freak out now. Okay, I'm starting to worry about this. Listen to Glenn Beck, who's a great guy, you know. And one guy said to me, I listened to Glenn Beck yesterday. He said that December is going to be the worst month of all. He might be right about that. I didn't hear Glenn's show, so I don't know exactly what he was saying, but, you know, I'm freaking out. Here's what you got to do right now. You got to not freak out, all right? What we're going to be talking about today is how your mind... It's your most important survival weapon. Your mind is the Swiss Army knife of survivalism. It really is. If you have the right head on your shoulders, you can deal with just about any situation. What you need to do right now is look around at this situation and go, yeah, this is serious. This is why I paid attention. This is why I'm not like everybody else. At this point, I'm going to reach down and start using the things that I've been setting up to prepare for, or I'm going to continue to prepare, and I'm going to use my mental focus and my mental clarity that there is a problem, and not walk around blindly like the sheeple. And because of that, I'm going to be able to weather this storm better than my neighbor. And I really hope my neighbor does okay, and I'm going to help him wherever I can. Start thinking about ways you can help other people if this gets really bad. And I'm not talking about opening up your home and turning it into a hostel. I'm talking about a little here and a little there. When you start helping other people, you start to find resources you didn't know you had. All right. It also helps clear your mind, and it makes you realize that you're not in the level of scarcity that you think you are. If you're that worried right now, screw it. Go down to Costco or Sam's Club or Walmart. Buy yourself a 25-pound bag of rice, a 25-pound bag of beans. Go by Home Depot on the way home. Get yourself two good 5-gallon buckets. Go home. Leave the stuff in the bag. Shove the bag in the bucket. Put the lid on it. And you know what? You could live on that for 3 or 4 months if you had to, even with a couple people in your family. All right? And there's protein and carbohydrates there. You'll survive. You know, put some water up, and you know, if that's what it takes to put you at ease, go do it. Yeah, you know, on stock market stuff, I've been getting people asking me, you know, I still have my money in the market, what do I do now? I cannot emphasize this enough, folks. I am not a financial advisor. All I can tell you is we made the move to make our investments more secure. We came out of all this, you know, index-level funds and stuff that was tied directly to the market. We put a lot of our money into secured bonds, tax-free bonds. We put some money into silver. We put some money into cash. We've started, what we've been doing lately is instead of making those contributions to IRAs, we've been putting that money in a straight-up savings account. And we put away some money that way. And with the way things are going now, we'll probably go by the bank and pick some money up and put it somewhere safe and secure where we can get our hands on it without going to the bank. Not a ton of money, but enough to run our household for a couple weeks if we had to. All right? These are the steps that we're taking. So, you know, all I can do is advise you to take the same steps. If your money's in the market and you just saw a big chunk of it drop, all right? And I was listening to Dave Ramsey for like 5 minutes yesterday. Folks, you know I'm a big Dave Ramsey fan, but I wanted to smack Dave yesterday. Some guy wrote him a letter about the very New York Post article that I talked to you about yesterday, the one that said we were 500 trades from Armageddon, all right? And Dave said, where'd you read that nonsense, you know? He beat up on the guy like he's good at doing when people send an email. They're not there to defend themselves. From the site trying to sell you gold or whatever. And I didn't hear the whole thing, so I don't want to be too tough on Dave. But what I understood from it was Dave didn't get what the 500 trades from Armageddon meant. And I think a lot, from some comments in the forum, I think people that listen to the show didn't get it either. It wasn't if there were 500 more trades, period, that the market was going to go to zero. It's that if there were 500 more trades of the type that were going on, which was big money people going, God, this sucks, and taking their money out of the market, pulling money out of the market, all right, that 500 more trades like that, big chunks of cash out, would have sent the market down into the 8,300 range, which would have been a 22% drop in one day, after we've already had a big drop, all right? That's what was, that was our quote-unquote Armageddon. Now, that would have been akin to the 29 crash. All right, you got to understand that stock wasn't worthless in 1929. It was just worth a hell of a lot less than people put into it, and then nobody wanted to buy it. Even when it hit kind of like the intrinsic base value, it was hard to trade. People would rather have had the cash at the time. That's what the risk of the 500 trades was. Now, Dave didn't get this, and he walked the party line, and he said, hey, you know, are you going to tell me that, you know, these big companies that have been around forever are going to go broke? Please, you're going to tell me Lockheed Martin's going to go to zero. General Motors is going to go to zero. And he listed a pretty good group of the Fortune 500 there. And I'm thinking, well, Lehman Brothers did. Right? And I'm thinking, well, Morgan Stanley just, you know, threw in the towel and said, we don't want to be an investment bank anymore. Give us some of that $700 billion. Right? Goldman Sachs did the same thing. Now, folks, I'm not a clairvoyant, but I put those two guys on the watch list over a week ago. I said, watch Morgan Stanley and watch Goldman Sachs. These guys are going to throw the towel in. And they did. Right? So what I'm pointing out here is that just because a guy is nationally syndicated doesn't make him right. I also want to defend Dave right now a little bit, okay? Not just on his plan to eliminate debt is a wonderful one, because it is, all right? But it's pretty simple. He's done a great job of marketing the most simple plan in the world. I admire him for that. And I admire him for telling people things like, you know, if you're upside down in a car, sell the car and carry the debt you're upside down on. There's a lot less than the debt on the whole car. Go buy a junker. Great advice, but when it comes to the stock market, here's the problem that Dave has. Dave Ramsey now has an audience in the millions, all right? If Dave Ramsey said, yeah, you know what, I'm taking my money out of the stock market right now, and I really recommend my listeners do too. If he did that, millions of people would make a run on the market. It would drive the market down. Dave Ramsey now has enough power to single-handedly, if he chose to, drive the market down on a recommendation. If he did that, he'd lose his show. Right, because he's in corporate America, he can only say so many things, and he has to walk the party line of, hey, you always buy mutual funds, just keep going. Don't worry about it, it goes up, it goes down, you're worried about your retirement. Well, you know, and then he caveats that with talk to your financial advisor, which I'm forced to do too, so no idiot sues me. And that's why he does it. But part of why he does it, I believe he knows these things. I believe Dave Ramsey's probably a smarter man than me. And I believe he really wishes he could tell you, yeah, you need to get in safer investments right now, but he can't do it. All right? I could be wrong about that. I actually sent him a letter yesterday by email telling him that I felt that way. I'll let you know if he responds. Obviously, if I'm right, he can't tell me I'm right. But, you know, what I'm trying to get across to you guys is that you have to start looking at the money that you have sitting there. And, you got to talk to your financial advisor. But this is the question that I would ask. If you're sitting in a type of fund, a mutual fund, a stock fund, an individual stock, anything like that today, if I had the cash, let's say it's $10,000, if I had $10,000 in cash, and even if it's the 401k, if it was in the money fund, the money market fund in that 401k where it was safe, would I buy this stock with it today? Would I take the cash and turn it into stock? And if the answer is no, then get out of the stock. Again, you got to talk to your advisors. I have to say that. But that's my, and that, see, that's what Dave would tell you about anything other than a stock, which is why I think he's, you know, he's got to hedge that one because it doesn't fly with the rest of his logic. Dave would say, well, okay, you're sitting on $10,000 in your savings account. And you owe $5,000 on your car. You have a rainy day fund set up. You're contributing to your retirement. Take the $5,000 and pay the car off. You say, but Dave, am I not better off with the $5,000 in cash and just making the payments till the debt's paid off? And he'd say, if you already had the car paid off, right, would you borrow $5,000 against it, right, so that you had the cash and then start making payments on the car? And everybody to the letter says, no, that would be stupid. Right? He says, well, then you're doing the same thing. There's no difference here. He's right about that. Well, it's the same thing with the stock. If you would not put cash in the stock today and the amount the stock is worth today, then you shouldn't hold the stock at that amount today. All right? That's just how I feel about this. So now that you've taken the hit, you have to ask yourself, are we near the bottom? If you think you're near the bottom, you kind of stay the course at this point. I personally don't feel like we're at the bottom right now, and I don't feel like anybody on network television or network radio is going to tell you that unless they're like a special guest that can be painted as a little bit fringe. And none of these mainstream people with audiences that listen to them are going to be able to say, pull your money out, because they'll get yanked off the air in a heartbeat. They'll be fired before they finish that show. So that's the reality there. So I think what you need to do right now is secure your finances. Look for stability and security. I talk a lot about silver in the past. I still think it's a good idea. I want to make sure I clarify something today, though. I am not saying to go out and turn all your cash into silver. It's not what I'm saying. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I'm talking about putting a little box or a little handful of silver coins up on the shelf and contributing to an investment fund with that silver on a regular basis, be it weekly, monthly, or quarterly. I don't care what frequency you use. That's up to you. But silver is proven to be a good, solid investment. I had a question on the forum yesterday from people. If we go into total shit hit the fan, everything's gone. The dollar goes to zero. right? Everything's completely crapped out. People are rioting in the streets. I have to take up a gun to defend my home. Are people going to recognize the value of a silver dime for barter? And my answer to that question was maybe not. Maybe not initially. But that silver will have value. Even if you have to flee the... You ever got bad enough, you have to flee the country, at least you can convert it into British pounds. Where if you take American currency with you, it's absolutely worthless at that point. Sooner or later, society will put itself back together. No society has ever fallen and not been reassembled. Now, they might have changed the name of the society. They might have changed the rules of the society. They might have changed the governance of the society. But the people put the society back together. You know, they say Rome fell, but there's still Romans. They live in a little city called Rome now. And all the people that were part of the Roman Empire are now Italians, and Swiss, and Greeks, right? Spanish, other European countries. Like, Rome didn't go away. Just the institution of Rome went away. That wasn't necessarily a bad thing. And if the empire of the United States declines because of this, we may all be better off. And when I'm talking about empire, I'm talking about our occupation of close to 100 countries around the world. That's the reality. We have more military bases and more foreign nations than any country ever has in the history of the world. Our empire today, if you want to call it that, and some people are comfortable doing it, I am. Right? Because Ron Paul awakened me to that. Our empire today is bigger than the Romans' empire was. We just have a better political way of dealing with the countries that we occupy, that we control, and that we manipulate. All right? We don't have our troops necessarily standing guard in these places the way that the Romans do. But the Romans were pretty big on letting all the pieces of their empire self-govern and do whatever they liked as well, as long as they paid their taxes or kept the trade route going in the right direction. It's exactly what we're doing today. So for you, the survivalist, that now sees the $700 billion bailout coming, instead of freaking out, what you need to do is thank whatever your version of God is, that you're enlightened and awakened, and that you're not one of the sheeple. You're not one of the people right now on a blog somewhere debating who's better, Barack or McCain, and slinging mud back and forth at those two candidates, wasting your time and energy on something that in the end really isn't going to matter. I talked to a friend yesterday, and what I said is, with voting for these two people, I honestly feel like my choice is being punched from the right, okay, with one of those old armored gloves like the Knights wore, or being punched from the left by a boxing glove wrapped in barbed wire. They're both going to hurt, and one's going to leave a bigger mark. All right, that's the left-sided barbed wire. That's how I feel about this. So, why invest your energy there? That's why I did a show yesterday on, you know, discerning your position on an issue without being told what your position on the issue is. Well, you're a Republican, so you should feel, and it's not done that blatantly, but that's exactly how you're told by the media. The media is being used as a pawn. They're less involved than people think. They've been set up. They polarize the media into two camps, just like the House and the Senate. And they feed their information into either side, and they know the end result of how it's going to come out. So if an issue comes out and Republicans take a stance on it, all the right-leaning portions of the media are going to present it to you from the right's viewpoint and explain how it relates to every other issue that you already agree with them on. And the left will do the same thing. Right? So that's what's happening now with the $700 billion bailout. But something unique has occurred. Something different has occurred. If you tune in to National Public Radio, which is as shill for the left as you can get, NPR, Randy Rhodes and those idiots over there, they don't want the $700 billion bailout. They're opposed to the $700 billion bailout. They think it's a bad idea. They're cheering on their Congress people that are fighting to pull back these bonuses and everything, but they really don't want the thing at all. They know it's a bad thing. They know it will make the problem worse. Now, tune in to conservative radio or Fox News. They don't want it either. See, the whole thing's falling apart now. Both sides, they usually polarize against each other like I was talking about yesterday, have now united. But they don't know they're united yet. They're still arguing over nonsensical BS Like, freaking gay marriage. That's why I said that issue needs to be tabled and out of the way. You want to debate that? Fine. After we fix the country, we'll worry about it. All right? You want to debate any of these social involvement issues, going in and telling people how to live their private lives and whether they can do this and whether they can do that and who they can, you know, be married to or anything like that. We'll deal with that, okay, after the country's no longer in an economic tsunami, all right, when our Constitution is restored. And we'll have time for that. Right now, we don't have time for that. This is like a trauma victim on the battlefield. You come up to the trauma victim, right, and they have a little piece of metal in their face. Now, that's going to make them look bad. All right, but it's not threatening their lives, and then they have a giant gaping, sucking chest wound where you can hear air going in and out of their chest. All right, and they're not breathing, and they're not getting air because of that hole. Right, you address the hole in the chest first. You get the guy back to the rear, and eventually, when they put him back to the other side, he's going to live. Don't worry about pulling that piece of metal out of his face. All right, right now we need to worry about the sucking chest wound. You as an individual, as a survivalist, need to take the following actions. This is what you need to do right now. One, I've already said this, secure the wealth that you have. Plain and simple. Two, continue to stock up on your stores of food. This is a real potential powder keg. You could get to a point where it does become hard to get food, or there's enough unrest around you that it's dangerous to go out and get the food, only, you know, or that it's only safe to go at certain times, the middle of the day, for instance. That could happen. I'm not saying it will. Again, don't freak out. Keep your head. Because the beauty of having some extra food around is you won't worry about what if that happens. You'll already know that you have a solution to that. Make sure you're storing up some water. It's always a good idea. That's really something that you should look at doing. If you have a swimming pool, consider yourself blessed. And I've had people say, well, you really shouldn't drink the water out of your pool. Well, if you boil it or whatever you can. But the big issue is you'll have water to take a bath with. You'll have water to flush your toilets with. I'm not that concerned right now about the water grid failing, though. All right? I just, you know, it's not the most likely thing in the world. You could have the power grid fail. And what they would do is they would let the power grid fail in residential areas, and they would leave them enough surplus power to keep the power running to industrial areas, including your water treatment plants and whatnot. So the water failure usually comes in places like where Hurricane Ike just hit, where flooding hits. That's usually what causes water failures. Not usually in economic, even in, you know, the places that actually had some running water during the Great Depression, the water didn't shut off, all right? In fact, the electricity didn't shut off during the Great Depression. Look back to the Great Depression. That's what I think we're headed for right now. That should freak you out. It should also comfort you. Everybody, you know, in your family that told you about the Great Depression, what does that mean? That means they lived through it. That means they survived. They got by. And I think that we're going to get by just fine today if everybody keeps their head. Now, the issue is there's going to be a lot of people losing their head. There's going to be people throwing themselves off of buildings down on Madison Avenue. That's going to happen again. I can almost guarantee it. It'll be for different reasons. Instead of because I just lost the family fortune, it's going to be because the police are coming to get me because I just stole 1,000 family fortunes. And it'll probably be a guy eating a bullet or poisoning himself rather than actually jumping off the building, but you get the point. Let those people do it. All right? The big risk here. Let's explain the big risk. Now that I think I've kind of maybe got your head wrapped around not freaking out, right? The big risk is this $700 billion bailout passes. We decide we're going to do this. Now, this is going to supposedly stabilize the markets, but here's the reality. $700 billion is more money than we spend on the Department of Defense in a year. We spend about $600 billion there. All right? We're going to take one guy and give him almost complete control over how this money is spent. All right, and then the biggest problem, we don't have $700 billion sitting around. They're not going to like pull up to a vault with a truck and move $700 billion from one bank into another to allow it to be distributed electronically or what have you. They're going to fire up the presses and literally print this money. Now, sometimes when we talk about the Fed just printing money, it's not quite printing, right? It's not quite issuing new bills or creating new bills. It's a lot of times it's just moving some money around. This time, it's not there. can't get. Remember, I talked about this when I talked about how we stay in debt by having a Federal Reserve because you can only pay back in dollars, and they're the only source of dollars. They're the only ones that make dollars. They're the only ones that create dollars. They're the only ones that issue dollars. Well, there's not $700 billion available for this program. So the Fed is going to print it, and it's going to loan it to us, and we're going to pay ourselves back interest that they get to keep. 2% of $700 billion at the prime rate today. That's how much this is going to cost us over the $700 billion. That's a lot of money, and that's what they get for their trouble of running the presses, which I would bet is going to be quickly converted into commodity assets because these guys know what's going on. The problem is when that $700 billion comes into our economy, it's not just, yay, okay, now we have money we can spend. Again, you got to remember that when you look at the money supply, the total number of dollars out there, which last estimate of the M3 was $13 trillion. So if you took all the money, everybody's money, put into a pile, American dollars would be about $13 trillion. When you pump $700 billion into $13 trillion, all right, plus all the other money, you know, it's easily $1 trillion of growth that the M3 is going to see this year. All right, that's about 8% growth in money. You've just dropped the dollar's value by a minimum of 8%. Again, this is like a stock split, okay? If you own 1,000 shares of Exxon at $75, all right, or I'm sorry, let's say $150, you own, what, $15,000 worth of Exxon stock, right? 1,000 shares at $150, let's say you own $150,000 worth of Exxon stock. Good for you. All right, now, if Exxon does a split when they hit $150, it says every share is now doubled, but it's cut in half in value. Now you have 2,000 shares at $75 and okay, $75,000, all right? When they do this with money, though, they don't give you more, all right? When they reduce the value of your money by 10%, they don't say, okay, well, Jack, you were sitting on $10,000 in that bank account. We just decreased its value by 10%, but here's $1,000 to put in there, right? It doesn't work that way. They just directly turn my $10,000 into $9,000 overnight. That's how this stuff works out. It's exactly how it works. And there's no way around it. You can't get around it. You can't maneuver around it. When you take more money and put it into a supply that's backed by nothing. Because remember, it's not like we're backed by gold or silver or anything. They went out and said, okay, we're going to get $700 billion of cash into the economy. Well, crap. That means we need to go out and find $700 billion worth of gold, put it into the Treasury and issue money against it. Well, that's not possible, which is why the inflation doesn't run away under the gold standard. But it would work if we could come up with the $700 billion in gold. Because the money would not go down in value. There'd just be more money out there. The reality is when you put more money, this is so counterintuitive, it's why nobody gets it. When you put more money into the system the way that it is, there's actually less money. You know, that doesn't make any sense. Well, it does. Because you don't get more. You don't get any more. That's why it makes sense. So I put more money into the system, and your $10,000 or your $100,000 or your $5,000 or your $1 becomes less valuable. And you go to the store, and everything you buy has now increased magically, almost by the exact same figure that the money's grown by. So the real risk here is the $700 billion starts this deflation spiral of the dollar, throws it onto its back, and it torpedoes down to where it's worth almost nothing, to where people start pulling their investments out of the United States. That's our big risk. I'm not going to lie to you, that can happen. Again, you don't freak out, all right? Dave Ramsey had a point when he said, do you think all these companies are going to go broke? No. A lot of them might, but not all of them, all right? When you look at the dollar, you're looking at a check written against the American people. As long as you still have some hope left for the American people, you have some hope left for the dollar. That doesn't mean you sit there blind while a train runs over you. That's what I said to Dave yesterday. Hey, we saved a lot of money by getting out of the market. When you said to stay in, when you said to just stay the course, how can you tell me I was wrong to save the amount of money that we saved? And you see if the answer is like, God, you will, right? I don't think I'm that important to Dave Ramsey. But, you know, so you just have to begin shoring up everything you're doing. And I put it this way to a guy today, too. Back in the days where we were really worried about nuclear war with the Russians, we had a DEFCON scale, DEFCON 1, 2, 3, and 4. 4 meant we were launching missiles, and 1 meant everything was normal. if we use that scale on the economy right now, I'm not at DEFCON 3 yet. I'm definitely not on, like, DEFCON 3.5, right? I am on, like, DEFCON 2.5, 2.7 right now. It's time to really ramp up what you're doing, but it's not time to freak out. And even if it comes, keep your head. Use what you've learned. Rely on what you have between your ears. Use your God-given brain, as my father-in-law says. Use your God-given brain and you'll survive any situation you're put into. Anything that we're going to go through, because this economy takes a crap, it's going to be easier for you to survive than being dumped out in the wilderness somewhere. As long as you think straight. Start looking around at other family members. Are there people out there that you could start maybe doing some doubling up with? If you have a renter in your family that's out there renting a one-bedroom apartment that you can stand to live with, it may be time, if you own a house that has a bunch of rooms in it that aren't really used, to say, hey, you know what, we have a guest bathroom, we have a bedroom, why don't you come here, give us 25 or 30% of what you're currently spending on the expense to fund your apartment, we'll put it into the household, you feed yourself, alright, and we're all ahead, and we're all using less electricity and less resources. Might be time to start looking at some options like that. If you're there's two single people in a family that both have one bedroom apartments, so you don't want to buy, and now might be a good time to buy, folks, if you can get the credit for it. But if you're in that situation, you might double up in an apartment. Start doing what everybody did 50 years ago before everybody had to have complete autonomy and independence from everybody else. That may be time to take that step. All right. If you're looking to buy a place out in the sticks and downsize your life, now's a good time to buy. December may be a better time to buy. January may be a great time to buy. Start working harder if you can. Get overtime. Take a second job. Do whatever you have to do to make more dollars now. And save, save, save. If you have a good cash reserve, and if the economy takes a major dump but doesn't die, you'll be what your grandfather always said he could have been. Remember your grandfather's stories? If I had only saved my money, if I only worked harder, if I only had more money when the market crashed, I could have bought whatever I wanted for nothing. And I could have been one of the wealthiest men in the world when this returned. Thousands of grandfathers have told that story to their grandchildren, to their great-grandchildren. You know what? They were right. And if you start, you know, it's not too late. This is, again, this is not the Titanic that looks like it's going to be okay, but it's going to be sunk in 3 hours. Right? This is a slowly sinking ship. This is a downward spiral I've talked about. And there's no guarantee we're going to even hit the bottom this time. But the more you save, the more you reserve, the more you stockpile, the more free resources you have, when you feel comfortable that we're at a place to spend some of those resources, now the danger has turned into an opportunity. Rich people think this way. This is why they say the rich get richer. Because when the Great Depression happened, the rich people didn't freak out. The common man who was living like a rich man, buying stock on margin, and living like a king, freaked out. The real rich guy bought everything. That's what's happening right now. You watch Bank of America go in and buy Merrill Lynch. Could it ever happen not very long ago? Bank of America saw the opportunity, they seized it. They seized it because, in spite of the fact that they played around in this bad paper market too, they didn't do it anywhere near the level that other people did. At least, it doesn't look like they did. Hopefully, they're not playing paper games with us, because that would be a big knife in the back if that bank collapses. Okay? But they put aside assets during the good times. They were ants. And now they're going out and they're harvesting what's left over from the grasshoppers. All right? They're harvesting the grasshopper graveyard. Hate to put it that way, but they are. And someone's going to do it, so why not you? Now, I'm not talking about hedge funds and all these shady investments and everything. All I'm saying is that if you save up as much money as you can, and you do what you need to do to keep your credit good right now, or if it's bad, to fix it, to look like a good risk for the bank. In January, if real estate, you know, the real estate market drops another 20 points in 1 month, and you walk out there and find that house you've always wanted to buy that you could never afford, that's now actually in your price range as a responsible consumer, and you go to the bank with a solid down payment, right, and a good credit score, you'll be able to buy that house. When the guy that paid way too much for it has already lost it, all right? Now, the Fed bails them out, that guy might stay there, you might not be able to buy that house, but there's going to be plenty of inventory out there and plenty of opportunities. realize what's going to go up in price is going to be food, commodities, gold, silver, oil, gas, stuff that always goes up in inflation. But a lot of the other stuff, the big ticket items, are going to decline. Maybe you've always wanted to have a nice pickup truck. Save up. You'll be able to buy a cheap pickup truck by this time next year. Before that, I would say by the winter. All right? People are going to be dumping those trucks for next to nothing. Check out Craigslist. Look for guys privately selling their firearms if you want to buy new. I'm telling you, people are going to sell stuff cheap. All right? People always talk about when the crash comes, you know, a gun will be worth more than money. But when the crash is on the way, people will dump the gun cheap to get some money. All right? Fishing gear, survival gear. Keep your eyes open for deals. Go to flea markets. You're going to start seeing people during this slide dumping stuff, dumping it. And the people that have capital will be able to buy stuff for pennies on the dollar. So preserve, build, store your capital. Save like crazy. Turn off a few extra lights if you haven't already. Cut your electric bill. We're going to work on that. My electric bill this month was insane. I'm embarrassed to tell you how big it was. It's one of the things that we've tried to do. All right. I guess it was hotter than I thought in August. You know, it was high. And we're going to, you know, look at making sure we have everything we can possibly turned off when we leave the house. And doing some other things like that. So cut wherever you can. And every time you find a dime that you can cut from your outgoing pile, shove it into your savings account. Don't buy something with it. Even if you're going to buy something with it, put a savings account before you buy something with it. When you put money from a checking account into a savings account, the psychology of removing it is different, and you spend it less freely. So every time you find a way to save a nickel, shove it in there. Nickel in, dime in, dollar in, $20 in. Cut your expenses as much as you can. Continue to save. Be prepared for what's coming. Winter's coming, but it's early fall. It's pretty out right now. It's not as bad as it looks. We're seeing some leaves turn orange. Not that big a deal. Keep your head. That's the biggest thing. Start living the show creed. Start living the life you want now. If times get tough, or even if they don't. And most people have bastardized the concept of living the life you want today. By saying that's live the life you want today. That's get your Discover card out, and we're a nation of consumers, and there's nothing wrong with that. Go live on credit. Bullshit. No, living the life you want is really thinking about what you really want. And when most people sit down and are honest with themselves about what they really want, it's not a McMansion, all right? It's not a Lexus. It's not a Hummer. You know what it is? It's safety and security for themselves and their family. It's the liberty to live life as they choose. It's the freedom to breathe clean air. It's all the things that you can just go out and take today, right now. You can go claim these things. You can go take these things. It might be work. You might have to really stretch your mind and figure out how you can do it. But you don't do it with an adjustable rate mortgage. You don't do it with a subprime loan. And you don't do it with a credit card. And if you follow those rules 99% of the time, you're going to stay out of trouble. Don't go out and spend all your money in one place. Don't put all your money in one place. Have money in the bank. You know what? Right now is not a bad time. I would agree with Dave. Now is not a bad time to buy some mutual funds. That's why I said you got to really think, do you want to move now? What are the quality of your funds? Sit down with your advisor. Have a conversation about the funds that you're in. If you think he's bullshitting you, get a new advisor. Take your time. Make decisions. When you go to the store, for the next 2 weeks, this is what I want you to do. Other than your groceries, you have to buy anyway. For at least the next 2 weeks, every time you feel the urge to buy anything, anything at all, I want you to not buy it. I want you to go home, and if you still want to buy it with cash, 48 hours later, now you can go buy it. Just do every, I don't care if it's that new gun you've been saving up for and you're finally ready to buy it, a fishing pole, a vacation, a trip, I don't care what it is. Other than food, other than the things you need to run your household and paying your bills, don't lose an excuse to pay your electric bill later or anything like that. But for the next couple weeks, everything that you think you want to buy, just don't buy it now. My wife and I have always done this, especially with big ticket items. We looked at the big screen TV that we eventually bought. I bet we looked at TVs for 4 months before we went ahead and bought one. We had already decided this is about how much we're going to spend. We're going to pay cash. Here's the stand we're going to buy for it because a 50-inch big screen TV is going to look the same on any stand. And I know this is not a survivalist purchase. Hell, we wanted it. We worked hard for it. We paid cash for it. I have no problem with anybody doing that. All right, especially when you're in a financial position to be able to do it. But we waited 4 months before we decided, yeah, we really need to kind of get rid of the TV that we have. It's not really serving us well anymore. It's got this big line going through it, and we're not doing it out of, you know, envy of our neighbor and things like that. We've just decided now's the time, and this is what we're willing to pay, and this is what we can get for what we're willing to pay. 4 months, right? So 48 hours is in a big stretch. I remember one time long ago, we're nowhere near as financially stable as we are today. We needed a new piece of furniture, and we looked at this chair. My wife called it a double butt chair, because it was like a huge overstuffed chair that two people could sit in. We must have looked at that thing for 6 months before we finally decided, yep, we're going to spend the money on it. And they said, okay, great, we have zero interest, no payments for 2 years. Let's get your paperwork filled out. We said, no, here's a check, right? So just keep following those rules. Keep preparing. Keep your head. Think about what you're doing. Be responsible with your spending. Do whatever you can to increase your cash in and increase your cash out in the next few months. See the coming decline as an opportunity and start living the life you want. If times get tough, or even if they don't, because that's going to make you a happier, healthier person. Realize that a lot of what's going on around you is an illusion. It's not reality. That these things are being done to scare people on purpose, to make them make poor decisions, so that they'll sell what they have cheap. Realize that this bailout is going to hurt us if we do it, and it's going to hurt us if we don't do it, and unfortunately, we're at a point now where we have very little control over where it's going to, whether it's going to happen or not. All right? Or exactly how it's going to happen or not. Call your Congress critter and tell them what you really think about it. I'm not going to tell you what to say to them. You investigate it. You decide what you think about this. You call your Congress critter and you say, hey, man, this is how I feel. And maybe do a little bit of what Glenn Beck had his people doing. And that is, you know, get yourself a little plastic pitchfork and mail it to your congressman. Mail one to your senator. That'll send him a message, hey, man, we're watching you, and we can come with the torches and pitchforks, at least metaphorically, at any time. All right? And if you do those things, if you keep your head, then you'll be able to do the right thing no matter what happens. Be the threat economic tsunami, real tsunami, bird flu, or anything else that comes your way. It's all about understanding that it's what you do matters. It's the most important thing that I can leave you with today. Don't freak out. Know what you do matters, and you'll be just fine. Again, this has been Jack Spirko with another edition of the Survival Podcast. As always, helping you to figure out how to live a better life if times get tough, or even if they don't.
You can scream, and you can holler. It really doesn't matter, 'cause it all gets spent.